Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It is written, and it came to pass after 3 days, that the officers went through the host. It is written, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the Jordan, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, and the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Oft times I'm forsaken and weary and sad, when it seems that my friends have all flown. There is one that cheers me and makes my heart glad. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Though billows of sorrow and trouble may sweep, Christ the Savior will care for his own. Till the end of the journey, my soul he will keep, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Joshua chapter 3, crossing the Jordan. Joshua got up early in the morning. He had big plans for the day. This was the day he would lead the Israelites to the Jordan River and then cross over into the Promised Land. Joshua got up early in the morning. Joshua liked to get up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning when he prepared the people to march around Jericho. He got up early in the morning when he would seek out Achan for stealing the golden wedge and the goodly Babylonish garment. On the Lord's day, we need to remember Joshua. The world is dying and going to hell, and there you are in bed at the communion hour. So how much more do we need to rise up early on the Lord's day morning and get with it? He rose up early in the morning. The river, normally narrow and shallow, was now deep and wide, and the current swift. Jericho lay on the other side. There were neither bridges nor boats for the crossing, so for 3 days they camped looking at the river. They looked at that river for 3 days. In the minds of the Christian, the Jordan River is always associated with death. The song says, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." Notice it says they camped by the river for 3 days. When you read about 3 days in the Bible, you may be standing on resurrection ground. The human race stands on the banks of the Jordan like the Israelites and tries to figure out how to cross over the river. Look at it. Is there any way to run the undertakers out of business? Is there any way to run out of business those who engage in such ghoulish work as the making of embalming fluid in tombstones? How can we get rid of these fiends who go around digging graves? Why is it that every community has a cemetery? Ladies and gentlemen, look at old Jordan Roll. It is easy to understand why it is symbolic with death. The Jordan is about 100 miles long as the crow flies. But because it is crooked as a snake, it is actually about 200 miles long. The Jordan is like our human lives. It starts in the pure snow water of the mountains, and from there on it's all downhill. It descends 9 feet every mile until it reaches the Dead Sea. First it flows into a small lake called the Waters of Merom, then down to the Sea of Galilee, then down to the Dead Sea. The Jordan River is below sea level. The Sea of Galilee is below sea level, and the Dead Sea is about 1,300 feet below sea level, making it the lowest body of water in the world. The human soul is like the Jordan River. The longer it goes, the worse it gets, till it finally descends into its own spiritual Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is like a dead soul. The Dead Sea is about 45 miles long and 10 miles wide and has no outlet. Everything goes in and nothing goes out. Dead churches are like that. The truth of the gospel never escapes. Very little, if any, money goes out for missionary endeavors. The Dead Sea, like the dead soul, is invaluable. The Dead Sea has been called the sea of the syrup of sodium chloride. Jesus said of the soul, "What shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul?" So on the third day the orders came. The officers of Joshua moved through the host and made the proclamation that they must sanctify themselves, because on the morrow the Lord was going to do wonders. The wonder would be the parting of the Jordan River. Ladies and gentlemen, actually, the Lord has been in the business of doing wonders for a long time through His servants. When I think of this broadcast, God is Just a Prayer Away, heard in Asia, Africa, Europe, the Middle East, North America, the Philippines, it is in itself a wonder as great as the parting of the waters of the Jordan. However, the greatest wonder of all that makes all other wonders possible is when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. The wonder of salvation is the greatest wonder of all. In preparation for the crossing, there was something the Israelites had to do. They were told to sanctify themselves and get ready to cross the next day. They will get ready to cross on the following day. Now, concerning the crossing, they were told to sanctify themselves, and the Lord would work wonders, and the people would wait for the Jordan to part before they stepped in. The priests were to step into the water first with the Ark of the Covenant. When the soles of their feet touched the water, then and only then would the waters part. That is the way it is for us in any part of the Lord's work. You have to get your feet wet first. When we began the God Is Just a Prayer Away broadcast many years ago, we were somewhat afraid to jump into such an undertaking. I went to a revival. I heard a preacher preach a sermon on wet feet and working faith. I have found that it is true. Faith won't work unless you get your feet wet first. As a passing remark, I might suggest for those who believe in Christ and His saving power, you need to get your feet wet first. Sprinkling just won't cut it. What you need to do is step into the water. Get in a little bit deeper. Faith works when you get your feet wet first. Now, back to the Israelites. The priest stood in the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant until every one of the people had crossed over on dry ground. Only then did the priest come up out of the river. It is hard to miss the symbolism of the crossing of the Jordan and death. First, they had to cross the Red Sea, and 40 years before that, they did. Paul says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Then they wandered in the wilderness, and after this, the crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land. This thought has found its way into our hymnology many times. When I tread the verge of the Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me safely through the current. Land me safe on Canaan's side. So we will pass over Jordan. When will it be? Joshua told the Israelites, tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, we will all cross Jordan on one of our tomorrows. The most popular year, I read, to die seems to be the first year of life. The second most popular year to die is in your 77th year. I don't know why it is, but most people die when they're 1 year old than any other, and the 77th year comes in second. So if you have a one-year-old at home, pay close attention. And if you are 77, watch out. However, for those of you who are not 1 year old or 77, let me remind you that you are not off the hook. Tomorrow, you may cross over Jordan also. I have known people of all ages in between 1 and 77 and above who have crossed Jordan when they least expected it. The story of the Israelites crossing the Jordan provides commentary on our own crossing. The first message of the crossing of the Jordan is sanctification. Joshua told the people, sanctify yourselves, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. I would suppose that almost everybody in his right mind, if he knew he would cross Jordan tomorrow, would give serious thought to sanctification. Most people normally regard sanctification as a disease to be avoided. But when they come face to face with their own mortality, they are more than ready for prayer, Bible reading, and a visit from the preacher. A well-known gangster back in the 30s had a priest on the payroll. The duty of the priest was to accompany the gangster wherever he went just in case he got shot and could have access to immediate last rites. Paul tells the unsaved how this is done in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when he states it for us. Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of our God. When you are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sanctified. You are declared to be holy in His sight. How does one become washed in the blood? Let us hear the biblical answer to this question. Paul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Again, Paul said, Buried with him in baptism. With him, with him, with him. Another element of sanctification is found in the prayer of Jesus. In John 17, he prayed, Sanctify them in the truth. And then he said, Thy word is truth. Paul amplifies this thought when he told the elders of Ephesus, I commend you to the word of God of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified. So be ready for the crossing of the Jordan, either today or tomorrow. Sanctify yourself. Remember, too, that Paul informs us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that the Lord has sanctified the church by the washing of water and the word. Sanctify yourself. It may be that the Lord will work the wonder of crossing the Jordan for you tomorrow. The second commentary on the crossing of the Jordan is regarding the new way. Joshua told the people not only to sanctify themselves, but the reason being they had never been this way before. The crossing of the Jordan will be an experience like nothing you have ever been through before. Sometimes we hear of afterlife experiences. Someone told me one time he had experienced one. He said he died and saw people on the other side, and then came back and that he was sorry he had to return. You can be assured that when you cross Jordan that you have not been this way before. Paul said that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There is only one death to a customer. It is not appointed unto us to die twice. The only exception to this would be the resurrections that the Lord permitted in the Bible. And the strange thing about those afterlife experiences is that not one of them had a big yarn to tell when they came back. Usually people with these so-called afterlife experiences all tell the same thing. It's a beautiful experience. When I hear of someone telling how they were on the operating table and looked down and saw their body on the table with the surgeon's knife sticking in their stomach up to the hilt, and realized that his hand had slipped and they were dead, and then relate how they saw one of their drunken relatives writhing in hell, I may be tempted at least to give some attention to it. But when all these stories indicate salvation for everyone and no one is seen to be lost, I find it difficult to take such drivel seriously. All who pass over Jordan will remember what Joshua said. I have never been this way before. You may have gone down 2 miles to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean and walked the decks of the Titanic. And if someone invites you to make the same trip with them, you can say, No, thank you. I've done that before. If you should ride a bicycle to the South Pole and sit on top of it without a saddle, and then someone would say, Do you want to make that trip with me today? You can say, No, thank you, I've done that before. If in future years you should go on a weekend camping trip to the backside of the moon, and someone would say, Will you go with me on the same trip? You can say, No, thank you, I've done that before. However, when you come to Old Jordan, you will be absolutely, positively certain that you can say, I have never been this way before. Now a third commentary on the crossing of the Jordan involves the parting of the waters. The waters parted when the priest put their feet into the water. The only way for the Jordan of death to be parted is by the priesthood. In 1 Peter 2:9, the apostle says, "Ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that ye should show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In the New Testament, there is no such thing as a priesthood in the exclusive sense. Every Christian is a priest. Those who seize the priesthood to themselves to the exclusion of all others, to all other true priests of the Lord, have no power to part the waters of Jordan. The waters do not part for anyone except the priesthood revealed in the New Testament. Peter again reminds us of the priesthood of all believers when he says in the 5th verse, "Ye also are living stones, built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, I am a priest unto God, with all the rights and privileges that a priest can have. Each one of us who have been born again is a priest unto God, and is in a position to offer a sacrifice. We do not offer up the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross week by week, because Jesus was offered up one time for sins and no more. The sacrifice that we can make, however, as a priest, is a sacrifice of ourselves in service. Did not Paul say, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice"? As a priest, you need to do some sacrificing. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your money. Sacrifice your abilities and give the crown of your life to the foot of the cross in the service of God. One more commentary of the crossing of the Jordan is in the Ark of the Covenant. The priest stood in the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant until all Israel had passed over. The Jordan River was dammed up, and the dam was the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark were, among other things, the Ten Commandments. When the feet of the priest that bare the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, the waters which came down from above stood up and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, which is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the dam that holds back the water for spiritual Israel? The dam is the cross of the new covenant. Jesus will remain in Jordan until the last one of us has passed over. Remember, it says the waters rose up on a heap as far back as the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. The city of Adam no longer exists. We don't know anything about it. But it is suggestive, super suggestive, that there was a city called Adam, and that's where the waters were parted. In the Jordan River of man's existence, all have died since the man, Adam. Men have died as far back as Adam in the Garden of Eden, and will continue to die until the Lord comes. Many need to understand that the command of the gospel is in the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost: "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gospel song says, "I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Ladies and gentlemen, no one can come. No one can come and go with you. We have to go alone, unless you go with Jesus. One preacher tells me of a man one time that he baptized. He was an invalid. He lived several years bedfast after he became a Christian. And this man delighted in the Word and the study of the gospel. He liked to invite preachers in and teach them what the Bible says you must do to be saved. One day his preacher came to see him and he told him, he said, "Preacher, I won't be here when you come the next time." The preacher said, "You can't leave us. We need you too much." The man grabbed the preacher's arm and said, "Well, if you need me that much, I'll just take you with me." The next time the preacher saw him, he was dead. Those were wonderful words of faith, but unrealistically. No one can go with us. You go alone when you cross Jordan, unless Jesus goes with you. Oh, so live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan which moves in that mysterious realm, where each shall take his chambers in the silent halls of death, see that thou go not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to the dungeon, but sustained and soothed, with an unfaltering trust approach thy grave, as one that wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.